Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Man, let's get in the Word. You guys want to? Now listen, the entrance of His Word brings light, and that light is the life that we have. The Word is our life source. All right? And write that down and then circle the word life, underline source, write it down. And I'll tell you why. The world wants to pressure its way in as your source. I'm just telling you, everything about the world is gonna pressure us into thinking, oh my gosh, my source is running dry. Let me tell you something. The Word gives us light, and that light is life. It's the life source that we need. It's all that we need. God's Word is all we need. And God makes His Word come alive. I'm a living, breathing testament to that. His Word came alive in my life. And the first revelation of God's Word that He gave me was I'm a new creation in Christ. So people ask me, did you do drugs? Did you party? Yes, yes. How'd you stop? Because I became a new creature in Christ. Old things were passed away. Behold, all things became new. I loved it. I don't know about you guys, but when you're a sinner, you love what the world offers. I loved it. But then somehow my affection turned to God, and it was awkward for me. But that first taste that I had, and the Bible says, taste and see the Lord is good. That first taste that I had was I was a new creation in Christ. So now it's like, wait a second. Somebody'd say something that normally would tick me off, and it doesn't make me mad. Why? I'm a new creation in Christ. See, God makes His Word. The second, the very second revelation that I had is God, for every temptation we had, God's going to provide an avenue of escape. Because let me tell you, I thought it was because I was a brand new Christian that that these temptations were so real because I was like a day or two or a week out of it. That is my lifestyle. So I thought, but now 41 years later, there's still those temptations. And God is always, always, always going to provide an avenue of escape. Always. All we have to do, and how's He going to do that? He's going to direct us by His Word. He's going to speak to us by His Word. Man, just surely the Lord is in this place. That why? Because we're bringing His Word. Let me tell you, what God does is God connects with Jesus, who is the Word made flesh. God connects with His Spirit that inhabits us. See, you're thinking, who am I that God would care? Well, nobody, except you carry His Son and His Spirit. That's why He connects with us so readily and so powerfully. It's not our intelligence that makes this happen. And I think a lot of people think that. Because I think new Christians are all thinking that, man, the way the devil's going to tempt you is to think you don't get it, you don't understand it. And let me tell you, it's not just what God's doing. I begin to understand what the devil's doing. I begin to understand how the world operates. When you understand how the kingdom operates, now you can understand how the world operates. You know, our government has people, they train people to see counterfeit currency. And it's interesting because they're not studying counterfeit currency. They study real currency. And they know that currency so well that if there's any deviation, they know that it's counterfeit. Well, that's how we are with God's Word. I mean, there's so many people that'll say, well, you never know what God's going to do. Stop. Listen, we don't think that way. So if you're thinking that's all humble, it's not. It's stupid. Because we know His Word. God takes counsel in His Word. I don't want to be stupid. I don't want to be ignorant of the devil's devices. What's he going to do? He's going to say, well, you never know what God's going to do. Like God's some mystic figure. He's not. Everything about the new covenant Everything Jesus said, everything Jesus did was point us to the funnel. That once we get in that funnel, let me tell you something, man, the kingdom's gonna pull us out. And it's that God's our Father. That's it. We hear his voice. We know his voice. We know his voice. It's a shepherding voice. It's gonna direct us. It's the Spirit of God which brings this whole thing to life. Man, and it's real easy. But see, we look at it. What does the Bible say? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now listen, I think that's flipped. I think that the way I understand that is faith comes by hearing, but hearing comes by God's Word. So if we look at that, it makes sense to me where it's like, my hearing comes from God's Word, and faith comes by my hearing. See, when we begin to hear God's Word, our faith rises. See, faith comes. Man, faith rises. Faith, and let me tell you, the faith that God's given us it's the God kind of faith. It's a takeover faith. It's a dominate. It's a take dominion kind of trust. It's like his love. What does his love do? It casts out fear. What does his love do? His love eliminates sin. It covers a multitude of sin. Eliminates its effect in our life. The way God does anything by his love is how he does it by his faith. So what's his faith do? It allows us to dominate situations. But how does that happen? It happens because we believe his word. You know what we are? We're believers. How many guys are a believer? So you know what we do? We believe. See, what God's saying is you've got to believe. And if you believe this much, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it'll have to move. And what that mountain is actually an authority. It doesn't have a surname. It's not Mount Sinai. It's not Mount Everest. It's just a mountain. It's something hovering over you. So let me ask you real time, what's hovering over you right now? What is? Is your finances hovering over you? Is your marriage hovering over you? Is your kids' friends hovering over you? Is your business hovering over you? Is your health hovering over you? Well, if you have a speck of trust with God, you can say to that whatever's hovering over you, go from here to here, it has to go. See, that's the dominion, that's the dominating faith that God's given us with his measure of faith. But we're believers, we have to believe. See, God wants to live through us. That's how we're gonna reach the world. We're not gonna reach the world with our political slant, even though we think we're right. Even though we think it can really help people and change people. And the more that rhetoric happens, the more divided everything gets. So what do we have to look at? Maybe we got a word. We gotta look at it that has God given you a word for your situation? Because let me tell you something. If you would say, no, he hasn't, it's not on him, it's on you. You have not because you ask not. And I'm telling you, my relationship with God is, God, you got to give me a word. And God, I know that I'm trusting your word, but I need it a few times. I need it two or three or four times. See, the world doesn't believe any of this. You know why? They don't know him. The reason we believe is because we have a relationship with God as Father. We have a relationship with God as his word. What does John 1:1 say? It says, in the beginning was the word was with God. The word was God. See, and we look at it that the world doesn't believe because they have no relationship with God. They have a relationship with the word. See, what we say and do introduces people to God. That's our role. My role is what I say and what I do, man, they're gonna see our faith by what we say, and they're gonna see our faith absolutely by what we do. See, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. John 1:2, He was the Word, remember? And this is synonymous with Jesus. You're going to find that out in a minute. But it says, but in John 1:2, it says that He was in the beginning with God. The Word was with God in the beginning. So now we skip to verse 14, and verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth." Stop right there and just stop on that verse. Full of what? Full of grace and truth. There's an order to God. We can't just flip and say, man, the word is full of truth and grace. No, what comes first? The grace comes first. What comes first? The power comes first. And then what does that power do? That power opens up and ignites you on the inside so that now you can trust the truth. Why is it the truth? Because you believe it. It's not the truth till you believe it. It's just an opinion. It's just another way of thinking about it. See, so, but how does the order happen? And I think a lot of people will think, no, I've got to get to the truth so I can walk in the power. God gives us the power, and then he reveals the truth. Make this as simple as I think it. Man, boil this down to the simplest form. Is God able? Remember? If you would, please heal, bring health. Jesus said, I will. See, the idea of this is this word comes with power, and that's how it becomes the truth. See, so much of this has to be experiential. It has to be. Then we go to John 3:1, and it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man, he comes to Jesus and says, how can I see the kingdom of heaven? He said, man, you've got to be born again. It all starts with us being born again. See, the idea of this, how many of you guys made Jesus Lord of your life? It came with power before it came with truth. See, how many of you guys got filled with the Holy Spirit? It comes with power before it comes with truth. And see, the idea of this is it all starts with that new birth. What comes with that birth? Power comes with that birth. How much of the word did I know? None. I knew none. I just knew I was saved. Man, I'll tell you, the whole idea of this is people we come in contact with, if our question is, have you been saved? If they say yes, we're great. And you know what? I don't even bear down to make them qualify it. But if somebody says no, man, that's where my switch flips on. It's like, wait a second, I've got to give you no choice. We got to make that turn that no into a yes right now. And see, understanding that, John 5:39 says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have it. Listen to this. You search the scriptures, and in them you think that you have eternal life. You think that's where the answer is. And these are they which testify of me, is what Jesus said. But you're not willing to come to me that you may have the life. See, an understanding of this is, man, we can't have the truth without the power. Man, there's a reckoning that happens in our lives. But you're not willing to come to me that you may have life, is what Jesus said. What's he saying? Man, why? Because he walked in a power. Man, they want to search the scriptures. He's talking to Pharisees here. He's talking to very intellectual people that had it all figured out. But then he said this in John 6:63. He said, it's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak, now listen, remember he said that he was the Word made flesh and dwelt among us? Well, now Jesus says, look, the words that I speak now to you are spirit and their life. See, it comes in the form of flesh, but that power hits and it flips the spirit and it turns into life. That's what happens to us. See, and once that happens, man, we're on the road. Once that happens, man, God's given us power to tread on serpents and scorpions and anything that's evil. See, anything that you think about God, but you can't find it in Jesus, it has to be questions. Man, you've got to question it. You got to question it. If you're thinking that maybe God doesn't heal everybody, or you're thinking that maybe God took your grandmama, man, let me just tell you, if you can't find it in the Word, if you can't find it in Jesus, question the fire out of it. But see, there's too many people. They find something in the Word and they question it. Why? Because that power is going to come first. It's got to come in power. It's got to come in glory. It's got to come in majesty. See, and let me tell you, that's what we understand. See, that's why the new phrase now that's happened in the last year or two, well, that's your truth. Well, that's what you believe. Well, here's my truth on this. It's like, I don't care what your truth is. I don't care what my truth is. I want to know the truth. If I'm gonna drive a stake in the ground, which I have with Jesus, it's got to be true. It's all got to be true. If God's not the healer, let me help you. I'm out. If God's going to withhold any good thing from anybody, I'm out. You know why? He promised he never would. And he's always going to take counsel in his word. If I can't trust him with that, what can I trust him with? Is God trustworthy? Yes. Why? His promises are yes and amen. That's why we can trust him. See, Jesus came for one reason. See, yeah, a bunch of reasons, sure, to cover our sin, to bring forgiveness. But the one big overall overreaching reason Jesus came is to reveal God as Father. See, and that's where power comes in. Let me just tell you, man, in communities that are within our reach, man, the one issue that could change everything is fathers. The one issue at home. Why do people flock to churches? Daddy issues. Let me just tell you, man, people that have been fathered well are easy to pastor, are almost maintenance free. But let me tell you, there's so many things. Yeah, but. Why? Because that word father, that personal definition of that word father reflects how you were fathered. And see, without us knowing God as Father, we remain orphans. We remain victims. Man, so much of the world, so much of the political divisiveness in the world is people trying to help people cling to their victimhood. Let me tell you, if you're a victim in anything, it's you not wanting to take responsibility for your life. I'm not holding anybody responsible for my life. Sandy, you hold anybody responsible for your life? Taylor, you hold anybody responsible for your life? See, we've got to take responsibility for our lives. What do you believe? Why do you believe it? Why will I, with my dying breath, say God's the healer? No matter what I see, no matter how I feel, no matter what happens, I'm telling you, I'm not going to walk out and lick my finger and put it up in the air and say, and find out which way the wind's blowing. Let me tell you, we can never find out the source of that wind. And that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, you're trying to figure me out and you don't even know where the wind comes from. See, the source of our lives is God's word. It's that power. It brings life. It's life-giving. See, without this, we remain orphans. We remain victims. If there's one thing that I could break over this room right now, it's the victimhood that you've had to struggle with all your life. Your dad wasn't there. Your mom wasn't there. You weren't picked. You were born with two left feet. Whatever it is. Man, I'll tell you, Taylor was in the first grade and there was a blind kid in his class. And I said, well, you got a what? He said, yeah, there's a blind kid in my class. I said, how does that work? He said, why? I said, well, he's got a handicap. And he looked at me just like this. He said, Dad, we're all handicapped. I'm like, shoot. I don't know what to say now. But if we look at it, I'm handicapped. But you know what? Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. I'm handicapped. Yet everything I put my hand to will prosper. Man, I'm handicapped. No weapon formed against me ever will. Same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. You don't think Jesus was handicapped on that cross? They nailed him to it. He's probably looking, he's going, hey brother, can you help me? Can you pick up that stick? My nose is itching. He couldn't scratch his own nose. Yet what did he do? He overcame. What do? We overcome, no matter what. See, Jesus chose. This is the big dilemma that people have with this doctrine. Jesus chose to live as a man to illustrate how we overcome as men. He could have chose to be God. The devil tempted him. Why did the devil tempt him? Because he knew he was God. Throw yourself off of here. Turn this rock into a loaf of bread. Man, the idea of this is he didn't come, he came as a man. He was living proof to illustrate an example to us the power that we have as believers. Let me tell you, the biggest thing that we can, man, you want to be an evangelist, you want to be a pastor, you want to be prophetic, let me just tell you, it starts with us being believers. See, in Romans 14, 17, the Bible says, for the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking. Okay, those are experiential to us naturally. But righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I stopped and I thought about that. It's not eating and drinking, which are natural things. But then he flips three things at us, and two of the three are natural things. Peace and joy are natural things. Peace and joy are felt experiences. We never feel righteous, so that's the promise God gives us. We're going to cling to a trust. We feel peace. We feel prosperity. We feel joy. See, he brings that in. That's how powerful that is. See, when we speak, write this down. When we speak, we release the realities of the kingdom. We release the realities of another world. A world greater than this world. Everything we experience resonates from within us. The Bible even says that out of the abundance of your mouth speaks. So if your heart's full of joy, where does the joy come from? Where does the peace come from? Where does the righteousness? It comes from God's promise. See, you've got to fill. See, so many people, I'll just tell you, man, there's so much on YouTube now. There's so much on Netflix now. There's so much on social media. There's so much on mass media. I mean, it's still a thing, yet nobody in America trusts them. Yet, we fill ourselves up with that. No, I just want to stay current. No, the Bible says be ignorant of evil. We've got to discipline ourselves with this. Man, I don't want a worldly answer for anything. I personally don't. I don't want the answer the world's offering for a thing. And let me just tell you, that's pretty recent for me. Because remember, with some of you old guys, Walter Cronkite, all those guys can be trusted. Who said they can be trusted? I'm hoping Walter Cronkite's in heaven, but who knows? See, so we look at it, the entrance of his word, not the entrance of the news, not the entrance of information. It's the entrance of his word. See, out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. What we speak resonates from what's in us is what it's saying there. And what's in us is going to be produced on the outside of us. See, that's just how it works. This is why it all starts with the new birth. Everything starts that we are born again. We're not born of the flesh anymore. We're born of the spirit now. We're born of the word now. We're born of the spirit now. We're born into power now. And see, we have power. Why? So much so that when Jesus speaks, when we're speaking what Jesus spoke, does it have different power because it's coming from us and not him? No. It's the same exact power. And see, what God's made us, three things that qualify this. He's made us joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs. So you guys thinking you're orphans? You're not. If you're thinking you're an orphan, you're not going to. The inheritance that God's given to you is not going to be real in your life. We're joint heirs. Okay? Then it says we're co-laborers. See, that's my responsibility. My responsibility is to receive the inheritance. My responsibility is to be a co-laborer in his field. And what did Jesus say? Man, you saw me naked, you saw me thirsty, you saw me hungry, you saw me in prison, you didn't visit me. And he said, they all said, when? He said, if you've done it to the least of them, you've done it to me. You give a glass of water to a little one, you're giving it to me. See, so we're joint heirs, we're co-laborers, but listen, we're in a commission. There's a commission on our lives. Why do I do what I do? It's a commission. I'm a co-laborer. And the needs you have in your life, I'm telling you right now, you call those needs filled. It's out of the abundance of your heart. It's where your power is. You release the kingdom. You release a better world, a better environment, a better atmosphere when you speak God's word. That's why Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He didn't go into all the world and live the gospel. He said, preach it, proclaim it. And you know what? He's hoping their lives would match up to it. But it all starts with preaching it. It all starts with proclaiming it. See, the transformation that we've experienced in our lives. How many of you guys have experienced a transformation in your life? Through the revival, through your relationship with God, being at church, you're married. There's a transformation that we experience that, and it brings transformation to others. That's how it works. We've got to live this so that it's so powerful on the inside of us, it's contagious. You know, Jesus said, I say what I hear my Father say, and I do what I see my Father do. That's what Jesus said. And so he's made us joint heirs, co-laborers in a commission. Can we hear and say what God's word says? Yes, absolutely. But you know what? We've got to activate our attention toward it and our vocal cords from it. See, power always comes from the source. So right now, if you feel powerless or if you're weak, that's why Paul said, I'm weak in this area. God, and he said, look, I'd rather be weak than strong because in my weakness is made his perfect strength. Why? Because Paul's deriving his source from something else, realizes he's weak, so he's got to transfer that source to God. And now he's strong. See, what Jesus heard, he said. So we have to tune our lives in and our focus in to hear. What's God saying to you right now? And I'm telling you what it's always going to be. It's always going to be where you should be and who you should be with. What you do becomes a byproduct of those two things. I'll tell you, you think about your life. You think about the things that happened that felt just so serendipitous. It's like, it was amazing. I was in that meeting because I met this guy, and 6 months later, man, I made the biggest deal in my life, in my career, because I met this guy 6 months ago. Man, we're thinking that's all serendipitous. I think it's where you are and who you're with is going to determine your future and your destiny. Man, what you do, the Bible says, whatever you put your hand to, do it heartily as of unto the Lord. See, Acts 1:1, the Bible says, the former account that I made of all that Jesus began, listen, both to do and to teach, and this is the key, to do and to teach. See, we've got to be doers of the word, but then you know what? We got to round people up and bring them with us, just like Jesus did. How did the 12 disciples get qualified? Hold it. Let's go even weirder. When Judas killed himself, they had 11 disciples. Some kind of OCD thing in the leadership there saying, look, we got to add a 12th disciple. How did they add that disciple? Huh? No, they couldn't have. That doesn't make any sense. But the Bible says they cast lots for who's going to be it. It's like, hey, let's flip for it. Heads, you're in. Is that amazing? That's how powerful who you're with and where you are is. It doesn't matter what side that coin landed on, whether it's going to be you or you. It doesn't matter. You're going to be with the right people in the right place. See, that's the key. And what's the devil going to do? The devil's going to try to confuse you on what you're to be doing, and is it a high enough purpose when, you know what? That's immaterial to God. Bob says, whatever you do, do it heartily as I'm unto the Lord. But you know what? I'm telling you, God's showing you where you should do it and who you should do it with, and that's what matters. Man, you could be doing the right thing with the wrong people, and the Bible says bad company corrupts good morals. See, understand that. Man, David, the greatest king who ever lived, but the Bible says that David took a day off, a day off, a day off, at a time when kings were to be at war. He wasn't in the right place. What did he do? He fell prey. And you know what that did? The dominoes started to fall. So now David got to put everything together for the tabernacle, but didn't get to build it. Why? He's in the wrong place in one day. And what did it do? It triggered a bunch of bad decisions. Up to murder. It wasn't just adultery, it was murder. See, so you look at our lives now and you understand this is about us doing and teaching, doing and teaching, doing and teaching, bringing as many people along as we can. And let me tell you, that's how you sustain the atmosphere and attitude of revival. What's the first thing Jesus did? Built a team. What's the first thing Paul did? Built a team. Paul huddles up. He's got a big team meeting. He's got a big staff meeting. He looked around there, but he said, man, not many noble among us. This is a ragtag group, man. God, I thank you for every person in this room. God, that your hand's on every life. God, I thank you that, God, as we release your spirit, God, as we pray right now. God, I thank you that you search men and women's hearts in this room. God, I thank you that anybody who's outside the bounds, God, anybody that has strayed, any person that's not living their life at a place with people, and maybe somebody stumbled. God, anybody in here that doesn't know you at all, God, I pray for them right now and release your spirit to draw men to you, God.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.